Let's cross some borders today, both physical boundaries and the ones that define our daily lives. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. Travel is about crossing borders, literal borders, of course, but it's just as much about crossing the borders in our own minds. Travel means challenging the internal boundaries that define our beliefs, our actions, and our attitudes. It's about our relationship to the other 7 billion people we share this planet with. That's what we strive to do every week on this show, and it's also the mission of this public radio station. In the hour ahead, let's revisit some of the more memorable border crossings we've shared. 150 years ago, crossing borders for pleasure was a pastime that only the super rich could afford. That started to change back in 1863, when English entrepreneur Thomas Cook offered his first guided tour of Switzerland for the British middle class. Recently, author Dickon Bewes decided to retrace the route of those Victorian-era adventurers. For a guidebook, he used a journal kept by a young, single Englishwoman known as Miss Jemima.
She's actually just a normal 31-year-old lady from North Yorkshire in England. She wrote this diary, but never became famous. She wasn't Bridget Jones. She wasn't Anne Frank. It's a diary that she wrote for herself. And I found her diary on the internet, secondhand, and read it and loved it. It's really full of life and full of humor, but full of Victorian ladies' morals as well. And I decided there and then to follow in her footsteps. Up until Thomas Cook came along, you had to be rich. You had to have 3 months or so to get to Switzerland and stay there. Transport was very limited. Mm. It was very slow. You needed time. What Thomas Cook created was the first holiday abroad for the middle classes. So doctors, lawyers, bankers. Okay. And they could afford his group tickets, made it much cheaper, and using the trains, that new invention at the time, made it much faster. And so this was the birth of Thomas Cook as a global brand. With Switzerland, he had immense success. He had been almost bankrupt a few years before, but Switzerland saved his company, and within 2 years, he was offering tours of Italy and Germany. Within 10 years, he was selling round-the-world tickets. So modern tourism, as we know it, was born in Switzerland with Thomas Cook. I was really interested in looking at this point in Swiss history and the point in travel history when the first mass tourism started, but also how Switzerland had changed or not since that time. So I used Miss Jemima's diary and I used the guidebook that they used back in 1860s. I didn't take my iPhone. I didn't take any modern guidebooks. And I followed in her footsteps exactly the same day to day, following the same rhythm. Switzerland in those days was one of the poorest countries in Europe. And the guidebook gave very good advice, like never leave your hotel without a few small coins in your pocket to get rid of all the beggars that are in every street, which is something we would never come across in a modern guidebook because Switzerland is now one of the richest countries in the world. And tourism was one of the things that helped change it from poor to rich. And so it was fascinating from a social history point of view to see Switzerland through the eyes of the Victorians rather than through our eyes. And so it was not an easy journey for them. They endured 18-hour days, getting up at 4 o'clock every morning. They walked a lot of the way, so 25-mile hikes over the mountains. And you have to remember, Miss Jemima, this has gone with the wind era. She was wearing a big dress with crinolines, and she still hiked through the mountains. It's not really the image we have of Victorian ladies. We see them as rather demure and unadventurous. But these women were quite intrepid. They hiked across quite big glaciers. The glaciers were much bigger in those days, and they hiked across them with no safety equipment, no ropes, no helmets, no guides, anything. They just went for a walk across the glacier. I think they probably presumed if they fell into a crevasse, their dress would stop their fall because their dress was much bigger than the crevasse.
What would you envy after doing this about what Miss Jemima would have experienced that you can't do today? And what might she envy about your trip that she couldn't have done back in the 19th century?
For me, one of the biggest disappointments was that the glaciers have pretty much disappeared. She went to Grindelwald, where in those days, two glaciers came right down into the village. She only had to walk across the field to see the ice. I had to hike a couple of hours up just to see the end of the glacier, which was another couple of hours away. So those mighty rivers of ice, or frozen hurricanes, as Byron called them, have disappeared almost completely, which is such a shame. For her, she probably would envy the speed with which I got round. It definitely was a slow tour for her, and it was uncomfortable. They had no bathrooms in the hotels. They didn't wash or bathe for 3 weeks. They wore the same clothes every day. I luckily could bathe every day and change my clothes, so she'd probably envy the hygiene.
That's Dickon Buse talking about the very first guided tour of Switzerland offered by Thomas Cook in 1863. It was a trip that helped launch the era of mass tourism. And what a changed world we live in today. It's hard to fathom how different the world was for those 19th century travelers when, for most people, crossing a border was a once-in-a-lifetime event. To them, the idea that news could be accessed instantaneously and constantly all across the globe would have been unimaginable. But lately, news and information is everywhere, and the challenge is to curate it and to trust it. And these days, information sources more often than not come with an agenda. They dumb us down, make us fearful, and even intentionally confuse us with alternative facts. Who ever imagined we'd be confronted with alternative facts as we try to understand the complex challenges facing our nation? Now, more than ever, we need reliable, fact-based information in order to do our part as citizens of this country. I rely on public radio to provide me with that kind of information, and I trust you do too. Quality programming and reliable news is part of the fabric of our democracy, and it's never been so important or more valuable. Please, take a moment right now to affirm your support for a media source that enlightens, not frightens. Become a contributing member of this station or renew your annual membership. Please do it now. We're counting on you.